It's October 13th, 2022, and it's 17:25 hours. This is Ward Green. We were doing Psalms 13 today, because it is the 13th. Also starting the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, but I want to start talking about the cameras before I forget. I was talking about them yesterday. I was thinking about it. I've been researching it quite a bit, obviously quite a lot recently. I've been thinking, maybe I'm torn between wanting a camera and not wanting a camera, because a camera is useless for anything except for movies and snapshots. So, you know, you can't use it as a phone. If it's just a camera, a phone can do far more, because it has apps. It can have apps in it. It can do all kinds of things. I mean, not that I use my phone. I don't actually use it much. But if I have to buy something, I'd rather have it be a phone. If I do have to make a movie with a camera, I can use my phone as the camera. If I need mobile, and I can't just do, I mean, if I can't just do sitting at the laptop type movies, then I can use my phone as a camera. So, no, I've often thought I wouldn't buy something, and then I made a decision, or, you know, made the leap and purchased something. But I have to understand that I'm really going to use it before I can buy it. And I don't really know if I had a camera. By the way, you can download the Sony apps, the Tether app that enables you to use your camera as a webcam. I just wasn't understanding that you have to enter in your serial number or something. I forget whether that's Sony or somebody else. Yeah, you have to do something before you can get access to the download. They have to know which camera there was some hoop I had to jump through that I wasn't jumping through, I guess, and that's why I couldn't get the tether app. I didn't see it in my browser. It wasn't because my browser was not up to date, or was too up to date. It wasn't because of that. It wasn't because they didn't have they have the up to date program for the most up to date Mac OS, or, you know, at least for Monterey. Anyway, they have it. So it's not what I thought it was. It's not what I said it was. It was, you know, but anyway. You know what Tony Robbins said, that I don't know what he says nowadays, but he said that the most successful people make more mistakes than anybody else, you know, because they're unafraid to try things, and they're willing to make mistakes in order to make progress and to be successful, you know. So they're willing to admit their mistakes in order to make improvement and move forward. And so they, you know, the way they got to be successful was by making mistakes. That's why they're more successful, is because they made more mistakes. That's what Tony Robbins said in the Personal Power program that I got years ago. Tony, I still remember an awful lot of what I learned from that program. This camera thing, I'm looking into the GH4 now, because I'm finding out that the speed boosters, I can buy a speed booster for $1,000. I think the way to go would be the FX3, though, the Sony, because I don't really care about snapshots anymore. We can do screen capture from videos, or what, you know. I think snapshots are obsolete, personally. Movies are the way. And it's just so easy to make movies nowadays compared to before. What it used to be, we could buy a single lens reflex, like my Minolta X700, which was pretty high level camera, but it was film based and couldn't make movies. They never had movies in SLRs. You know, I mean, never. That's a very recent thing in my life, anyway. I mean, obviously, they've had it for years, but I mean, not when I was young. So it's recent to me. And these mirrorless cameras, I'm not sure when they were introduced, but they're also a new idea. And I'm very often an early adopter, but not, I don't like being a consumer where I waste money or, you know, destroy the environment or contribute to that mentality by buying and then throwing away and getting a new item. That I'm not interested in very much. So I don't like the consumer attitude. The consumer mindset is not my mindset. At least I try not to make it. I try to be the furthest away that I can from the mindset of a consumer. So I like using things for a long time. And the other thing about cameras is that resolution, if you want resolution, like with the Hasselblad 100 megapixel, phenomenal camera, but you're going to sacrifice low light sensitivity, which is better when you have fewer pixels because you've got fewer electrical circuits to produce noise in the camera when you have fewer pixels. I mean, a lower pixel count is always better for low light sensitivity. That's why the Sony 12 megapixel is so much better than anything else, you know, that has like 20 or 24 megapixels or even some of the other Sonys. Many of the other Sonys have more megapixels for higher resolution, but worse low light performance. So, or low light sensitivity, I should say, you know, which is what we're talking about, being able to produce noiseless pictures in low light or good quality pictures in low light. I realized too yesterday, when I put this camera image that I'm getting on the iPad up on my Sony monitor, not the Sony, what is it called? My Philips, on my Philips monitor. They're Dutch, I think, Philips. When I put it up on the Philips monitor, I get a much better image. I mean, it looks fine. My face, even in the 360p video where my face is only a small fraction of that 360p, my video of my face looks perfectly fine. Looks high quality. Might be a little bit wrong in the color, maybe, but my face is less pink than maybe it should be, possibly, than what I'm seeing it here on the other monitor. But the quality of the video is much better than I was aware. So it depends on which monitor you're looking at it on. Really, it depends which monitor you're using to view that video. And maybe it's my monitors that are the problem, maybe the camera is perfectly fine. So I'm not going to necessarily buy a new camera if I'm just wrong in that sense. I won't. I can admit an error there and say I was wrong. This camera's fine. I don't need a new camera just for that. The only reason to get a camera if I bought a camera, it would be a very forward-thinking decision where I'd be thinking I'm going to use a camera for decades into the future or whatever. And that, for that purpose, I'd almost rather have the Hasselblad because it's, you know, 100 megapixel, phenomenal quality. You're never going to, but that's $10,000. But I'm saying it's not that I can afford it. I can't. But I'd rather have something that's good if I'm going to buy it and keep it for a while. I mean, it makes sense. And if I don't have low light sensitivity, maybe I can use light. there's a revolutionary idea. Use light when you're doing photography. I mean, I can adapt. But this investigation, I mean, low light sensitivity is phenomenal to have it because you don't always have light available when you're working on filming things. But, you know, you can't always arrange to have light. I mean, if you don't have low light sensitivity, then you're going to have to just do a lot of research into how to do lighting. I think that's the other way to go. But which people in the film industry always do, is they always are very interested in lighting, right? So that's not an issue. I mean, it can be done. It can be done. I just don't have any interest in lighting yet. I'm interested in the low sensitivity, in the low light sensitivity right now. High sensitivity, but in low light. Good sensitivity, which is basically, it means sacrificing resolution. I mean, it's, you can still make 4K though. 4K videos, and which are still too far ahead of their time. I'm still using 720p for most of my work, although I start with a camera that can do 1080p or whatever it is that this M1 Max webcam can do. I'm not even sure what it does, but I'm not sure what it, I think the resolution might be, well, I'm using a screen capture right now anyway. I'm using a higher resolution, so it doesn't matter, but what the camera can do does matter. But I'm shrinking down what the camera can do and cropping it. So I haven't done all the math on that to figure out what resolution I'm getting on my headshot. But, you know, it's good enough, I think, it would be if the camera quality is good enough, which I'm still trying to investigate, I guess. But so I didn't realize it, if I put the whole video up onto the Philips monitor, it makes a huge difference. Well, for one thing, the video looks perfect when I'm looking at it on cam live on any monitor. That's the thing. But when I make it into a movie using a screen capture, it doesn't have the quality that I want on some of the monitors. But then I had never tried it on the Philips, and I noticed it's far better, way better. Way better seems like bad grammar, but it's something we always used to say, way better. I'm not sure if it's correct or what the meaning is or how people are going to interpret that or understand it, but so that's why I want to say far better, but it's the same meaning. It's far better to use on the quality on the Philips is far better. Therefore maybe other people's monitors are better than the other, but then again it doesn't look so great on the monitor, which is a phenomenal monitor, on the laptop MacBook Pro monitor, the 2021 MacBook Pro 16-inch, it doesn't look good on that monitor either. Which tells me it's something wrong with the camera, because the monitor that I've got in the M1 Max MacBook Pro 16-inch is a phenomenal camera. Sorry, not the camera, the monitor. The screen, the integrated screen, the integrated display in the M1 Max MacBook Pro 16-inch is a great display. It's phenomenally good. Like, I know that. I'm using it all the time because it's so good. In fact, I use it in preference to a lot of my other screens when I'm doing a lot of my preliminary research. I like using it for the preliminary work, or just when my other screens are being used, which they always are for displaying things because they're bigger. So I use my small screen, which 16-inch screen is still not that small. I use that for my research, or preliminary research, all the time, and it's a phenomenal quality. Like, just doesn't show it. It proves to me that my video quality isn't good enough. That's all. Or I can do better, but that doesn't mean it's worth paying $5,000 to buy an FX3, which I'd love to have. But then again, there's all the preparation I have to go through to get that to work, as a webcam. You know, if I want to use it as a webcam, I'm not sure it's worth that. I also have to buy a stand for it to mount it, and I have to. It's going to have its own batteries that are probably eventually will need replacing, and so on. There's other issues, right? I'll also have to buy. Yeah, I'm not going to buy a camera and not buy the SD cards or the other, whatever, the CFE cards. I'm not going to be able to buy it without any cards, because otherwise I can't do any recording as a standalone camera. So I'll have to buy the cards, and there to buy the big ones, it's like $300 to get the high-speed card, which is a V90, and to get 256, I think it is. Whatever it is, 256 gigs or whatever it is that it, maybe it's just for the 128 gigs, but it's, I mean, I've got that. I can check that out, what the Amazon orders says. It's not orders. It's my cart. It's try and check that here. See what I've got in the cart. Yeah, $288 for a Sony G SD card, UHS Type 2, V90, 128 gigabytes. Tough, Sony Tough G. $288 for that. That's, you know, and I'm not going to necessarily make 4K videos either. That's the thing. Because it takes too much space to store them on my backup drives. So what's the point in buying a camera that can do... Maybe I should buy a camera with lower resolution that can only do 1080p and forget about... Completely forget about 4K. But that might be unwise because in the future, well, as these hard drives get bigger, I can buy a new hard drive for $278, which is 16 terabytes for a backup storage device, which I've already, of which I've got one already, that is a 16 terabyte. So, I mean, if all my drives were 16 terabytes, I could use bigger files for my videos, right? But I have to have a high-speed transfer rate too, or it would take longer to back them up, or everything would slow down. I'd, you know, I'd spend more time doing backups and things than I want to. So everything has to be brought up to speed without hopefully losing time in our my everyday schedule, speaking for myself. But I've made some significant advances since yesterday. The things I was doing, I got more efficient in a couple of ways, and now I can't remember right now at the moment what those ways are, but something about my routine, I learned how to, I know one of the ways is very significant. I learned how to put this amazing organic foot powder. Yesterday I ordered ingredients to make my own foot powder after I reverse engineer the recipe from the actual foot powder I was using, which is no longer available on Amazon. I found out from the list. On the list tells you you need aloe vera powder, you need arrowroot powder, you need kaolin white clay, you need, or powdered clay, you know, and you need the black walnut husks, I think it's called. You need rose geranium oil. You need tea tree oil, which I have. But so you need a few, but I need, so I ordered all those things online. It cost about $130 or something. $134, I think it was, to get all those things ordered. And now I just need to reverse engineer the recipe, which I've done before with chocolate balls and succeeded. Now I won't be eating chocolate balls, not with any sugar added anyway. I'll be finding ways to use chocolate without adding sugar too. That's an idea. Probably I'll do that at some point soon, hopefully, but I don't know. But my food right now, I'm enjoying a lot. I don't need sugar. I don't even need chocolate right now. I'm fine. But the thing is, I'm talking about the recipe, the reverse engineering. I believe firmly I can reverse engineer it just by guessing. Like, I can see a list. The first item on the list, there's always more. That's the one that, of which there's the most in that recipe. When you have a list, right, of ingredients. So the first item is going to be, I think, the clay. Then there's the arrowroot powder. So I'm going to say, you know, maybe they're mixed 50-50, but I'll make a very small batch initially. I'll experiment with the ratio of the different items until I get something that's very similar to what I'm using as a foot powder. And that way I'll save a lot of money making my own foot powder, I think. This way, I think I'll save... Maybe I won't save much, maybe I'll save nothing, but I'll be gaining the control over how to make it. And I'll be the one engineering my own recipe. But I'll reverse engineer what they did, try to get something similar first to see what they're doing, maybe. But it doesn't even matter, you know, it doesn't matter if it's the same. I just know what ingredients they put in it, and I've used this foot powder. It's excellent foot powder. The second thing I learned, this is maybe the first thing, the first way in which I've changed my procedures in the past couple of days. The first way that I've improved is I've found out that the way to treat your feet with the foot powder is not to put it in your socks, which makes a mess. Or don't put it on your socks or on your shoes or inside your sandals or shoes. The way to use it is to put it on your bare feet and rub it in between your toes, and at the same time you're cleaning your feet as well. if you rub vigorously, you're actually washing, you're totally sanitizing your feet. Then you put your socks on, and then you're good for the day. Like I or maybe for the day, but you could always do it again later in the day if you had to. But it's amazing how well that works. I think that's the way I should have been doing it. I never thought of this or learned this my whole life. I never learned, but I wouldn't have wanted to do that with the chemical foot powders, which are, you know, that's just scary to put chemicals that are not natural. I mean, to put unnatural things on there, on your feet. And I almost bought a foot powder that had zinc oxide, and I kept wondering, zinc oxide, I just, something Jehovah's telling me, don't use zinc oxide. I don't know why he's telling me that, maybe because for me it doesn't, maybe my body's not good for it, or maybe it doesn't work for anyone's body. I don't, or maybe it's just bad to use zinc oxide in a way I don't understand, but I don't want to use it because I don't know what it is. So I guess because it's a metal. I'm not sure why, but it's just because it's something I'm not familiar with, which I'm not familiar. Something is way too bright here. Let's get some darker screen if we can here. That's going to be darker. There we go. Yeah. So, because it's blinding me. So the amazing thing is, I finally decided I'll just buy the ingredients and make my own, you know, whatever. But it's a bit of an investment, $130 to buy ingredients. But it'll be enough. Like, I think it's 1 kilogram of the clay, which would be, you know, that's like 10 years supply, maybe. You know, it's a lot. So it's not like a lot of money in that sense. I mean, what I have is, oh, maybe I don't have it here. No, I don't have it here. It was 100 grams, I think, in a little bottle. Compare that with, I think it was 2 pounds I got of clay, a kilogram maybe. Well, I've got my orders here, don't I? Yeah, I can look at them here probably. Yeah, I just click on this and I'll get the orders coming up. There it is. 1 kilogram I got. 100 grams compared to a kilogram, which is 1,000. Yeah, so it's 10 times. So 10 times the amount of the foot powder, which foot powder itself might last me a year, maybe 6 months. I don't know how long. $130. But I'll be able to find sources that are inexpensive maybe too in the future for these ingredients too. I'll be able to find better sources possibly. It's not something that's anywhere close to finalized as far as what the price is going to be, but there's a 2 pound bag of arrowroot powder. If they're 50-50, then I've got the right proportions of those. And then I bought aloe vera powder, organic, 8 ounces of it, and that I probably don't need as much of that, I'm thinking, because it's not top of the list at all on the list of ingredients on the bottle I had, which is no longer even, you can't see it. Maybe I can find it on Amazon. Let's find it. Let me look at it. I'll look this up. See, I'll look up the kaolin. There it is. Found it right away. It's got, oh, but if I click on it, okay. It's no longer there on the page when I click on it. I have to do the search again. Okay. That was just, okay, here it is. Order details, maybe. Well, it's got peppermint in it, too, which I have. I have peppermint oil, so I can use that. So, this is the, let's view the order details. I don't know. No, it no longer goes to the page where the picture, where the details are. Let's look at the invoice. There might be something on the invoice. No, it doesn't give the full ingredient list. So I have the bottle here. So that's. But anyway, I'm not going to go through the ingredients with. I've already gone through them all, but I'm not going to read them out right now because that's not the main purpose of this video anyway. So that's not the. I mean, it's not. I'm not expecting other people to do. If I develop a good recipe, I'll you know, then I'll be concerned about sharing it. I'm not going to. I'll possibly share that. There's no reason why I wouldn't share it if it works well. It's, I haven't developed the recipe yet myself anyway, so there's no point in giving the raw ingredients out unless we're going to develop it as a group or something, which is no, that's not what I'm seeking to do here. So, I mean, also, maybe I'm just too lazy to run in the other room and get the bottle. That might be what it is. I don't want to interrupt the video, a lot of reasons. So I just maximized this window accidentally. And I can't get it to come back. Oh, okay, it's maximized itself in a way that I can't. Well, it's okay for it to be maximized. All right, I'm going to open up the QuickTime movie recorder, right? And then I'll size it so I can see myself, and I'll make it float on top. So, something else I'd learned, what was it? I'll share it as time goes on if I can't think of it right now anyway. So, let's read Psalms, little children, Psalm 13. It's short, very short. To the director, a melody of David. How long, O Jehovah? Jehovah, help us to now, help us to be humble in our study of your word, in Jesus' name, amen. How long, O Jehovah, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you conceal your face from me? How long shall I set resistance in my soul, grief in my heart by day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Do look upon me. Answer me, O Jehovah my God. Do make my eyes shine that I may not fall asleep in death, that my enemy may not say, I have won out over him, that my adversaries themselves may not be joyful because I am made to stagger. As for me, in your loving kindness I have trusted. Let my heart be joyful in your salvation. I will sing to Jehovah, for he has dealt rewardingly with me. That's all there is to Psalm 13. It's interesting that David is aware of the idea that his enemies want to be able to say, we beat him. That's what their goal is. They think it's a competition. That's true today in many respects. That's always what's happening. People continually present themselves as though they have superior knowledge to us. That's incorrect grammar. People use the word we as the object of preposition. It's the word us, to us, not to we. But today, bad grammar is becoming more and more prevalent. Incorrect grammar is becoming very common. And the word I, you know, it is I, not it is me. Even I do that one all the time incorrectly, but it is I, right, is the correct grammar. Because the word is, the verb is, doesn't take the objective. It takes the nominative case. It is we, right? But to us, for us, you know, in the name of us, or whatever, all these different things, by virtue of us, given to us, people. Those are all correct grammatical structures. The ones, the proper use of the word us, I mean. And it is we is also correct. Okay, as for me, it says, yeah. But David was aware that a lot of times the enemies of Jehovah's people, they think it's some kind of competition that, oh no, we're right and he's wrong, we're going to prove him wrong. And all this kind of thing. That's the way people are. We don't ever have to let it come to that. I don't ever let it come to that nowadays. I mean, I it's not worth it. On occasion you might think you're going to benefit somebody if you resist them and tell them they're wrong, but if it feels like some kind of an argument where there's actually some kind of, if it feels like there's any kind of animosity going on, or if it feels like we don't have to resist because, you know, it's a hopeless, if it's a hopeless argument because the person's too stupid to understand, which is very often that's what it is. These people are, they're stupid, literally stupid, because they're blinded by the devil and by the system of the world that teaches them propaganda that's wrong. So they're too stupid to understand, so you have to leave the situation. You have to just go away from the situation and ignore them, you know, and maybe you'll be able to talk to them later in a more productive way, but you can't. There's no advantage to arguing with someone stupid, because it doesn't do any good, because they don't have they're just going to insist that they're right even when they're wrong. And that happens, you know, it never happens normally, because we don't seek any argument, right? So it never happens. Most of the time it doesn't happen at all. We don't go around arguing. We go around looking for people who are, you know, in need of information that we can share with them. People, we go around looking for people who, with whom we might share some bit of wisdom, or we don't always have to share wisdom either. We could just be cheering them up, trying to help them with their happiness, with their level of happiness, trying to make people realize they can be happy, even if the world around them is mocking them or making them feel inadequate because of their lack of material possessions or whatever. There are a lot of problems in the world, and a lot of people are suffering for various reasons. Maybe their loved ones have died, all sorts of reasons. And maybe we can cheer them up by sharing some of the information and some of the compassion that Jehovah has. That's what we're interested in doing. We're not interested generally in arguing at all with anyone. That's not an issue, or it's not a thing. We don't. But our enemies want to believe they've won out. That is a thing from their viewpoint. That's a very interesting point in the Psalms here. And David knows his enemies are thinking about that. And David doesn't want that to happen. He doesn't want... not that David would feel that he lost. He doesn't say that. He says he doesn't want his enemies to feel that they've won when he's got problems. Which is fascinating. Look at that, because I made to stagger, verse 4. If David staggers even, if he gets close to being in trouble, that makes the enemies joyful. But he's going to sing. So this is a psalm in verse 6, I will sing to Jehovah. He's singing this whole thing. This is a psalm. He's playing it on the harp, possibly. And he's, you know, he says he will sing to Jehovah. He appreciates what Jehovah's done, because he says Jehovah has dealt rewardingly with him. It's pretty powerful when you think about it in the from a humble standpoint, that David was a pretty humble person. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1, it's a little longer than the Psalms was. The Song of Solomon, the superlative song, which is Solomon's. May he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. This is written from the standpoint of the maiden, it sounds like, the first part. For your expressions of endearment are better than wine. For fragrance, your oils are good. Like an oil that is poured out is your name. That is why maidens themselves have loved you. Draw me with you. Let us run. The king has brought me into his interior rooms. Do let us be joyful and rejoice in you. Do let us mention your expressions of endearment more than wine. Deservedly, they have loved you. A black girl I am. There it is, you see, so it is a girl writing this. But comely, O you daughters of Jerusalem. Well, it's written by Solomon, but this is what maybe Solomon's viewpoint of what the girl thought, or maybe what she told him. Comely, O you daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the tent cloths of Solomon. Do not you look at me, because I'm swarthy, because the sun has caught sight of me. The sons of my own mother grew angry with me. They appointed me the keeper of the vineyards, although my vineyard, the one that was mine, I did not keep. Do tell me, O you whom my soul has loved, where you do shepherding, where you make the flock lie down at midday. Just why should I become like a woman wrapped in mourning among the droves of your partners? So it's saying, tell me where you do shepherding, where you make the flock lie down. Where are you? In other words, where can I find you? Verse 8. If you do not know for yourself, this is him answering her. If you do not know for yourself, O you most beautiful one among women, go out yourself in the footprints of the flock and pasture your kids of the goats alongside the tabernacles of the shepherds. To a mare of mine in the chariots of Pharaoh, I have likened you, O girl companion of mine. Your cheeks are comely among the hair braids, your neck in a string of beads. Circlets of gold we shall make for you, along with studs of silver, as long as the king is at his round table. My own spikenard has given out its fragrance. This is the girl again. As a bag of myrrh, my dear one is to me. Between my breasts he will spend the night. As a cluster of henna, my dear one is to me. Among the vineyards of Engedi. Look, you are beautiful, O girl companion of mine. Look, you are beautiful. Your eyes are those of doves. Look, you are beautiful, my dear one, also pleasant. Our divan also is one of foliage. The dear one is the girl writing to the king. The beams of our grand house are cedars, our rafters, juniper trees. When we look at the first part of it, it says, my dear one. I'm looking for it now. That's the end of it. That's the end of chapter one, by the way. Let's see, of Song of Solomon. So, the dear one, okay. Yeah, she says, as a bag of myrrh, my dear one is to me. Between my breasts he will spend the night. That's her. She's the one who says, my dear one. He calls her girl companion of mine. And she also says to him, you whom my soul has loved. In verse 7, where she asks him to tell her where he does shepherding. But in verse 16, she's telling him that he is beautiful as well. That their divan is of foliage. In other words, they're living out in the wild or in the garden somewhere, in at least in her imagination. And then in his statement in verse 15, oh, look, you are beautiful, O girl companion of mine. He calls her girl companion and she calls him my dear one. That's what it appears to be. That's what we're learning here as we read it. As we go on through the Song of Solomon, we'll understand whether or not that's true to a greater or lesser extent, as you know, as we read more. That Song of Solomon, it's a love story between Solomon and a maiden. Now let's get back to talking about some of these other issues, if there are any other issues. Let's check where we are here. Okay. Just checked at my time. So the kale and foot powder, now I might run out and get the ingredients, but I don't really want to share that right now. It's not important anyway. I need to figure out how to make a recipe that works, and then I can share that. And I fully intend to do that because it's going to be a way to save money, possibly, or more importantly, it makes me self-sufficient where I don't need to depend on some manufacturer. And I'm doing that with my toothpaste now. I can buy xylitol and coconut oil, and I can buy the peppermint. I can buy the baking soda. I can make my own toothpaste. That's all there is in it? That's all there is, I think, in the toothpaste. It's very simple. It's all about getting the correct combination. Right now, I've got almost too much oil for the winter. It's colder. When it gets colder, the oil gets harder. I mean, I don't have enough oil. I don't have enough coconut oil. That's what I mean. Too much of the other ingredients make it stiff. So you can make it, depending on the season, make it to be stiff or not stiff. Right now, it's so stiff that when I'm brushing the toothbrush in it to try and pick it up, it's going to ruin the bristles because it's straining the it's too hard on the bristles. I can mix in a little more coconut oil with it the way it is now, even if I want. I can easily do that, probably pretty easy with a spoon, just mix it in, or with a fork even, or anything, you know. I can mix in some more coconut oil for the winter, but I'll use it up quickly enough, and I can make a new batch with a little more coconut oil. So that's seeming to be promising. I want to play you something else from one of these videos. Is that the one? No, that's not it. Hang on a sec. I think this is it. No, that's not it. That is not it. Sorry. Just a minute. I had it here, so I think I was prepared to share it. Stop here. Hang on. I didn't want to play it. I should just mute this thing in case something pops up. I don't want to have it playing. Well, what I want to do is I'll try and find the video. Okay, I'm going to search for it right now, I guess. I just get a new tab here. Yeah, the song. I want to play the If I Had You, the version of it that's done by Tommy Emmanuel and Yosho Stefan, because it's quite a nice musical rendition. See if I can get that to pop up. There it is. Let's bring it up and maximize that. And obviously that won't work. Let's see. Sorry about that. Hang on a sec. Okay. Let's do that. Yeah, I need to resize. There we go. Just like that. Like that. There we go. Let's maximize. We've maximized. Let's play. Okay. Whoop. I've muted everything. Hang on. Unmute. Now play.
So this is If I Had You, take 46.
Okay.
No, it's take one, really. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so, yeah. So something like...
Turn it down a bit. I don't want it too loud, because it'll distort. Thank you. Okay, yeah, that was very instructive. They've mixed a lot of blues into that. It's not really a blues song. It doesn't need to be anyway, but they've made it into a blues song. It's certainly, in my opinion, very tastefully done. It's amazing. I mean, it's just, there are no words to describe that are sufficiently descriptive, I don't think. What's the word? Astonishing, maybe? Yeah, it's astounding. It's pretty amazing in many ways. And I guess we can call that a day right now. I want to do more research. I'm getting going on my research. Now, I'm not going to have to research. My ingredients have arrived, actually. No, that was that. Something's arrived. Could it have been my ingredients? No, I just ordered them last night, so it's not them. It's not they. That's the proper grammar. It's not they is the correct grammar. I need to stop. I clicked on the wrong program. Okay, there we go. I'm just trying to get what was delivered. Oh yeah, my nutrition. I ordered about $500 worth of nutritional products just to update. It's just basically the same old standby supplements I've been using, taking for food supplements. That's all it is. But it's I need to get this program running. There it is. Let's get this back. Yeah, that's what I want to do. Get this back. Oh, let's go undo. Transit. There we go. So I mean, it's basically my food supplements that I ordered a few days ago. They've arrived, so I can pick them up anytime. Tomorrow is the day to go get them because, or the next day or some other day because it's today's rainy. So the best day is always without rain for driving and things like that. That's when I like to go out. I don't want to have the rain to contend with in case I ever do have a car breakdown or anything happens. The rain would just complicate that, and I don't want to be out in the rain for that in that situation. So I never go out in the rain anymore. And plus, my cars. I've seen how the rust affects them because of the salt on the roads and rain and so on. It's never good to get the car wet unless you're trying to wash the car. So I don't mind if it occasionally rains unexpectedly and washes the car, but it's not the car anymore I'm driving now. I'm driving. Yeah, I perhaps didn't make an update to share how I changed over the cars. I changed the cars over on this on the day. It was good on the day of around the 29th of September, and that changeover went rather smoothly, probably the best one I've ever done. I basically moved everything from one car to the other that I need. Hopefully I didn't miss anything, but I got everything moved and then that I could think of. And then I sprayed the peppermint oil solution on the in and around the engine, well, in the engine compartment, and also in, around the outside of the vehicle, the wrap. I mean, the tarpaulin. What do we call that? What do I call that thing? The tarp that I wrap it with. Yeah, the tarp. So, I sprayed the bottom area around the bottom of the tarp so that any rodents that are there probably won't like that peppermint. They won't come in. But I also put the Bounce fabric softener sheets, those sheets of fragrant chemical smell or whatever it is, that these fabric softeners sheets have. I put those sheets, one in the engine compartment, I think, and a couple inside the car. Or I think I put a couple inside the car, and also one or two underneath the car, under the tarp, so that maybe I even put one on top of the car under the tarp because I don't want any rodents coming in. I think I did put one on the hood of the car because they can get up on the hood and use that as their nest under the tarp. Yeah, they do that sometimes, I believe. So they'll go anywhere they can find a place that's warmer than the winter, and they'll try to use that for their habitation, like whether it's mice, moles, rats, whatever. Right, the rats are the worst, so I don't think I've ever seen any rats around here yet, but they might be coming. So I've just this year, I've just started using the peppermint solution, water and peppermint oil mixed together and then sprayed on, something like 20 drops per 32 ounces, I think it is. So if you have 8 ounces, you use 5 drops or something. Yeah, I think that's what I was doing. 5 drops in per 8 ounces for the peppermint oil in water. But you mix it up and then spray it on. You want to be careful what you spray it on. You don't want to spray it maybe inside your car necessarily, or you know, you have to think about whether you want to do that. But these bounce sheets, I can put them pretty well anywhere, and then take them out later. Hopefully, you don't forget that they're there. If I'm putting them in the engine compartment, I don't want them getting caught in the machinery. That's one thing that I want to be aware of. So, but now the cameras it's a fascinating thing. I want to know what the current technology is. I'm not going to do this research every year. I'm going to research up to today's modern technology, and then I'll just watch an occasional YouTube video to find out what's happening, maybe. But I'm doing an intensive period of research on the cameras right now, and maybe I'll buy one, maybe I won't. But I will end up knowing probably pretty well what's going on in the industry. Or I'll have some idea, but you always miss some amazing products. Or there's a possibility that you can miss the most amazing product of all. The best products might not even be published. But they have to be if they're commercially available, you would think. They've got to be. Someone knows about them. And if they're widespread, which is what you want to buy, you want to buy something that is widespread so that it's possible to learn about it by going online and going in the forums and finding out what problems were solved by whom, doing what, using that product. So I like to buy something that's well known, widespread. I don't want to buy a product that's, now maybe I do, if I knew the manufacturer, and if it was a very small manufacturer whom I knew personally and who could fix it for me if it broke, that would be different. Then I could say, yeah, I'll do that. But what if something happened to that manufacturer and he had health issues or couldn't do it anymore? I'd be stranded, right? So that's why it's better to get something that's widespread, made by a big manufacturer that's like Apple, right? That's why it's better to buy from Apple. The support from Apple is so much better than most other support. So that's why maybe I should just get a new iPhone, and maybe I should wait until they make a better phone, a better camera. But like maybe the iPhone 15 will be the right one to buy, or maybe. But in the meantime, I can be researching all about cameras and getting up to speed with everything that's available, and maybe I'll buy one. But I'm not interested in having more resolution at the expense of low light sensitivity, necessarily. It's a great thing to just think about and ponder. Do I want 100 megapixels like a Hasselblad? I'd have that camera forever until I passed, because as long as it kept working. They have old Hasselblads that are mechanical. There's no electronics in them, and they still work. These Hasselblads are so well made that a Hasselblad in the modern cameras that they make, they don't even bother with the complicated things that, like, autofocus on the animal eyes and things like that. They don't bother with that. They don't try to do what the big manufacturers are doing. They keep it simple. They keep it much simpler, and it's more of a user, user interaction. What's the word? They leave it to the user to do a lot of these things. It's a tool that requires the skill of the user, right? They incorporate the skill of the user, not just make everything automatic, which to me that makes a lot of sense. To make it, to incorporate the skill of the user makes a lot of sense to me. I've never liked everything to be automatic, because it's always done. Machines, in my opinion, never do things as well as humans. It's always like, I always go into the settings and turn off all the automatic updates and think, you know, I can do the updates myself. I'm not that, you know, I'm not completely stupid. I mean, it seems to me like that to me is sort of an insult to my intelligence, I think. But anyway, but I know there's other people who don't agree with the things that I do. Or, you know, I mean, it's good that we're not robots. We're different. We have different opinions. That's a good thing. But no, yeah, I was thinking about this idea of the people who are involved in drugs are always trying to get people involved in drugs. That's, they're addicts, and they're addicted to their mentality of thinking about drugs as being good for everybody. They don't care if an occasional person dies because they use drugs and their body didn't take kindly to it, and they reacted in a way that cost them their lives. They don't care about that, and they deny that. They will just believe that that person died for some other reason, would have died anyway. You know, we will not accept that the dangers of these things are real, and that the whole mentality is wrong because it leads to death. Like, it's by its very nature, it leads to death, and that's why God doesn't approve. That's why Jehovah says that sorcery is bad, because it's druggery, that any form of druggery is unapproved, disapproved, you know, disavowed, and completely unwise and condemned, really, is what it is. In Jehovah's eyes, it's a, that person is already dead. I mean, a person who is, like Jesus said, remain in the vine, you know. If you go away from the love of Jehovah, you're already dead at that point. You die as soon as you go away. When just like when Adam partook of the fruit that the devil offered to Eve and Eve shared with Adam, he died the instant that he chose to do that, to deviate from what Jehovah said. That's the moment he died, was then. He died then. The rest of his life was just a technicality. What's the word? A formality. Right, the fact he lived to be 930 years old, that was just a formality. He would have lived forever if he hadn't disobeyed. That's the Bible teaching. He died as soon as he disobeyed. The way to get everlasting life is to repent from disobedience and start being obedient to Jehovah and be faithful, you know, to the extent that you can in everything you do, that be remain in Jehovah's love and be faithful, but be obedient to Jehovah's teachings. And many of those teachings, or if not all of them, come from the Bible. I'm trying to think what teachings come from Jehovah that are not from the Bible. I mean, we learn things. Well, we learn teachings that are not from the Bible. Like I learned about calcium and all these different supplements, not from the Bible necessarily, although they have to be consistent with the Bible in order to be good. But like, it does mention goat's milk in the Bible. It mentions corals in the Bible. You know, there are things mentioned that are consistent with the idea of certain nutrients in real life that are written about in the Bible. But the thing is, If it's not in the Bible, it will keep changing like science. We'll keep on learning more about it, whereas what's in the Bible doesn't change. That's the difference. So, I mean, there are things that seem to be true that are not in the Bible, and the people who are promoting bad practices believe that they're promoting something good too. You know, the drug sellers, what do we call them, the pharmaceutical companies, the drug companies, all these people who are agreeing with them too, they're all believing that what they're doing is good, but that doesn't make it good at all. In fact, if we know from the Bible, once we know that the Bible says it's not good, then we have a choice to turn away from it. And if we want to be in Jehovah's love, we have to turn away, and we have to stay away from that and keep on learning how to stay away better, how to be better at staying away from those things. And not promoting it to other people is another part of it. We don't want to promote. Because that's what happens when we ourselves are involved in something. We tend to promote it to others. Like I've promoted, or in an educational way, calcium to other people. And a lot of people have adopted calcium for whatever reason into their diet, whether it was anything to do with me or not, it, you know, is a different, is a whole other question. But they've adopted calcium, a lot of people. And then I learned quite a long time after that, I learned about vitamin D being dangerous unless you take vitamin K2. And so vitamin K2 is now my most incredibly exciting thing that I'm more or less promoting, but I can't say it's going to be right for any particular person. That's the thing. But it could be the best thing ever for a large number of people. You know, it seems to me that is very likely the case, but I mean, I can't know that. And these what we learn continues to change, whereas the Bible, we learned from it different things as it stays the same, and as we progress, it's alive and it exerts power, as Romans, not Romans, as Hebrews 4 and 12 says. The Word of God's alive and exerts power. It's not an antiquated book, that's the thing, because it was inspired. The Word of God is alive and exerts power. It's an amazing thing. It can discern thoughts and intentions of the heart. Let's look at the other version of that. A judge of a heart's thoughts and conceptions. Right. That was how it was put. Well, that was Byington. Oh, that's Byington. Right. Okay, just a minute here. Let's see. Is able to discern thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's the up-to-date New World Translation. Okay, yeah. So this is Ward Green. I hope you're doing very well. I hope you'll be strengthened through your efforts to get to know Jehovah God better, draw near to God, and he will draw close to you, James says in his book. And I hope you have a fantastic day. I'm looking forward to continuing the studies and the other discussions we're having. And I love you. Bye for now.